Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hello, hello again, everyone. This is your wonderful host, Andrea Maxim, with the Profitable Practice Podcast. And as promised, I have our dear friend James Burgess back on the show. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that first call, you have to. It was about a month ago. So I said at the very end that we have a month to get ready for this call. So definitely take a quick listen, go back into the podcast notes. You can do that on the website, maximizebusiness.ca, or definitely on iTunes. But this was what we kind of covered, and this is why it's so important to go back and make sure you even re-listen to the show. So James covered the power of being focused on where your business is headed through a single paragraph. And that was the biggest thing that we covered, was how to be very succinct with what it is that we want our goals to be and how we want our business to go. So in a single paragraph, we were able to kind of figure out exactly what our vision was for the business. And so we actually went into creating the vision and the mission statements and exactly what they are, because I was always confused. What's the difference? And he went through that in greater detail. So with the vision statement, it was being specific to how much, by when, doing what, for whom, and in what geographical marketplace. And then he always also covered how the mission statement differs, because that helps to answer the question as to why our business exists and acts as guardrails on the journey to our vision. And then finally, we spent time discussing that in order to reach our vision goal, our business goal, even years from now, that it is so important to set measurable outcomes. And if you remember, we didn't go through all of his five secrets. We went through four on the last call. So today, as promised, we are going to be covering the fifth secret, which is the power of the action plan. And he's going to introduce us to the easy and fast, sustainable, and entirely practical ways that we can sustain the business plan indefinitely. And it only takes 10 minutes per week. So if you guys can't schedule 10 minutes per week out of your busy schedule, or maybe not so busy schedule, depending on where you are in your business, then you're not going to be nearly as successful. And before I hand it over to James, remember that he also gave away his free social media marketing worksheet as a special bonus. And I know we're going to be reiterating this at the end of the call, but if you email James at james@focus31.com, so that's focus31.com, and put, "I want to talk to you" in the subject line, you can get that free social media marketing worksheet. And James, did people kind of hold you to that? Did you get a fair amount of people emailing you about that?
There were certainly a few. No question, Andrea.
Good. So let's jump right into it. So with regards to the fifth secret about the action plan, tell us what we need to know so that we can have a beautiful business in only 10 minutes per week, which I think sounds crazy.
Absolutely. And it does to everybody. And yet it is absolutely and entirely possible and plausible. And I'll go through it in just a minute. Again, I just want to reiterate for everybody that if you're typical, and I don't mean to suggest that you are typical, but if you are typical, then you have a perception that business planning, while necessary, you know you should have one, just like you know you should have a personal budget, you don't. And nor do you have a personal budget, because you perceive that both of them take too long. Well, certainly when it comes to business planning, if you listen to the first session of these calls, I laid out that the approach I'm giving to you for free is easy, it's fast, it's sustainable, and it's entirely practical. And it has to be practical. I work with small business owners. I just can't imagine myself working with a business owner was something that is impractical. I don't talk about theory. I don't, use university lecture style content in terms of, the not even 30,000 foot ideas, but the 100,000 foot ideas that professors teach in their classes. This is hardcore, on the tarmac, doable, workable ideas, and I see it work. I've seen it work. God, I'm shrugging my shoulders and opening my hands up just like Donald Trump does. And that I'm glad you're not actually seeing that. But it has to be practical for business owners if you're going to use anything. You do not have time. And you've probably heard the adage, you can't work in your business all the time. You have to work on your business some of the time. And I put that a little bit on its head because it's not entirely correct. You can't work on your business all of the time. You have to work on your business some of the time, all of the time. And that's where that 10 minutes a week is going to come in and be so critical. But again, I'll come back to that. So let's talk about the fifth element of the business planning that is easy, fast, sustainable, and entirely practical, and that is action plans. And if you listen to the first call and you choose to disregard everything I have to say, you can still advance your business successfully if you only do this element, if you only have action plans that you fulfill and replace over and over and over again with new action plans. You can advance your business to higher levels of success. Without the rest of the plan, the challenge will be, the outcome will likely be, it won't go as quickly as it would if you have the vision, the mission, and the objectives, because you'll be a bit helter-skelter. You'll be testing and trying rather than being absolutely formulated on what is needed to move you to where you want to get to. If there is no end goal, where do you kick the ball in a soccer game? You're going to be kicking it all over the field for a while without the vision statement. The vision statement shows you the goal and you progress towards it. So I'm not suggesting for a second that you should only have action plans. I'm saying that if you personally choose to only have action plans or one element of a plan process, this is the element to have. And again, in the interest of keeping this process easy, fast, and practical, the action plan is nothing more than having a verb, a project name, and a due date. Okay, so what do I mean? Well, verb might be complete, or let's use this one: relaunch. Mm-hmm. The name of the project, website, and the due date, May 31st, 2015. There's an action plan. Relaunch website by May 31st, 2016. Excuse me. Yeah, there you go. I didn't get it done. I'm a typical business owner. I'm a year late.
It was an example. I figured I'd just let you run with it.
So relaunch website by May 31st, 2016. There you go. There's a whole action plan. Easily done and simple to create a chart with these action plans on them. But there's a couple of other things, and the action plans are the heady, powerful work that advances the business. You don't create an action plan that says, pay HST on April 30th, 2015. That's just an absolute compliance must-do. You don't get a choice in that. That's not improving the business. But it's not improving the business, not building infrastructure. It's not improving the program offers. It's not improving the marketing. This is all about creating a bigger, faster, better business than you have today.
Yep.
What are the missing elements? Identify them and get them written down with timelines against them. But there's a couple of other rules I apply to action plans, again, to make it practical. And that is, it's not a laundry list. If you create 30 action plans all due May 31st, 2016, you'll get none done. Simple as that. So we want to keep it high priority and a limited number. I think this is actually my quote, but I can't swear to it. But I've used it so often, I'm adopting it as mine because I don't remember who may have actually said it. But while it may feel like you have to fix your business all at once, the reality is time was actually created so that everything doesn't have to be done at once. But for business owner, it just feels like it. So identify the priorities, put all the work down you need, prioritize them, and then get to it. because there's always tomorrow after the first one gets done to get the next one done.
Yeah.
And my recommendation is that you do not have more than three projects maturing in any 90-day period, in any quarter. So if you've got a if your quarter is, as would typically be the case, April, May, June 2016, don't have three pieces of action plan work with a due date inside that 3-month period.
Now,
Again, because
can I interject real
absolutely,
quick?
go right ahead.
So let's say I have five projects that I'm thinking of, and I don't want to forget them, so I want to write them down. Would then I put, okay, so I'll put my top three, my highest priority in Q1, and then I'd put my other two in Q2. But if I accomplish my goals prior to the set date, could I then start moving things over? Or does that give me the opportunity to put new goals in for Q1? What would you say to that?
Both. Absolutely both. Because the crazy thing about being in business is within a 90-day period, new ideas will come to mind that are not currently in your action plan. So you work diligently to get the three most important done, and not just as a tick sheet, got it done, but rather as a the system is now in place and I'm going to continue to make sure that it's working and doing what I expect it to do. And I'll come back to that a little
Sure.
later. But if I get those three done, then I can look into a future quarter and say, am I ready to pull these forward? Or alternatively, do I have new ideas that have come at me that I want to test whether or not they're relevant, or research, whatever the case may be? And those can be added to the action plans, and worked at progressively as well. I'll talk more about that in just a second
Okay.
when I talk about how to sustain the business plan indefinitely. Because it's
Because
one of the steps.
my only fear about that, knowing me, is then I could easily start developing squirrel syndrome again and being like, oh yeah, this I want to do, and this I want to do. And I hope that throughout this call, which I know you're going to do, you can help us kind of stop the squirrel syndrome, stop the shiny object syndrome, and kind of keep things nice and organized. Because I know I can get taken off track very easy.
Well, and that's why the full plan is, really rather important, Andrea, and that it's in the full planning that you can manage your squirrel symptoms. Business owners, entrepreneurs, the reality is we do, somebody comes along and says, you should take a look at this as a new system for, and you look at it, you look at it, you look at it. The next thing you know, 3 months have gone by and you haven't done anything else and you haven't pulled the trigger on that one because it was too much money. You really didn't know what you were looking at. Stick to what you know first, and when your foundation of action plans is strong, then you're in a better position to look at some new ideas in terms of how to expand the business out. Don't
Perfect.
start tomorrow with the intention of franchising if you don't have your marketing completely consistent, if you don't have a brand image that is recognized in the market. These are far, far more important. Because you'll never be able to franchise until you've got the system, the marketing, everything absolutely humming. Then you and actually with multiple outlets, corporate outlets, before you even think about franchising. So there's no question we get hit with it all the time. Having a full business plan, again, you might as well take the time because it's easy and fast, will minimize the squirrel. And But at the end of the day, and that's why my system includes weekly coaching calls with the client, my clients. They set their expectations for the week every Monday, and every Friday they have the opportunity to get 30 minutes of my time. And that's where we really have the opportunity to keep the focus on what is important and talk, to spend 30 minutes talking over a squirrel issue, a squirrel-like issue. And either set it aside or move it forward. And sometimes I'll
Perfect.
go look at it for them and let them stay on track.
Awesome.
So no more than three and a quarter. The other thing is, again, I said it's not a laundry list. So don't have more than nine action plans in your annual 12-month period plan. Spread them out. And a lot of people tell me, well, for example, I'll use the website. It may take me more than 2 months to get my website ready. So I may have, or tell you what, I'm going to use a more interesting one because both of us are authors. I'll use the publish my, I want to, my action plan is I want to publish my book. And so I may want to publish my book by October 31st. But the real outcome I'm looking for, the action plan and the end action plan is complete my book launch party by October 25th, 2016. Well, the risk of putting that action plan way out there is that there's somewhere like 6 months. Oh, actually, it is 6 months between now and then. And I may never, if I don't pull some of element, if I don't break that big action plan down into some smaller action
Yes.
plans, it could be suddenly October 20th and nothing's been done.
Yes.
So I would reverse engineer that and put two more action plans in. One, complete the manuscript by May 31st, 2016. Sell sponsorships up until August 31st, 2016. Design, print, and publish by September 30th, 2016. Launch party October 26th, or whatever date I said, 2016. So, for any of you that have got a big project, put the big project end date out there, but then reverse engineer two or three key steps to keep you focused every quarter on making sure that that big date doesn't suddenly arrive and absolutely nothing's been done.
And would those key steps then act as little action plans? Would that be included in your three for the quarter? Or are those just steps to keep the action plan going?
Again, it depends how big
Fair
the big
enough.
one is. If I'm relaunching a website, that's fairly big, but the to-dos might be add video content, add a sales page for my consultation. Those are not really big. Those can be when I talk about how we sustain the business plan, those smaller pieces can be dealt with in a different way. So
Perfect.
I would suggest that the magnitude of the work to be done determines whether or not it's an action plan or something that's simply been progressing every week.
Okay.
Okay, cool. And so when you do the, if you put nine, no more than nine action plans, first of all, it's manageable. It's the high priority. You're going to be really, really excited about seeing the work that you have in front of yourself. If you break it down three per quarter, then what you'll find yourself doing is being engaged in quarterly planning. Because each quarter you're going to come back and look and see, oh, those three action plans are done. What's in my plan looking forward? Okay, I've only got one right now that is a high priority. Oh, just thought of, I've got two other ones I want to add in. I put them into this quarter, and now I've got a rolling quarterly plan. And so I'm always, a lot of people say to me, well, I can do a business plan. Sure. Yeah. You're right about, the power of having it. But a day later, it'll be irrelevant because somebody's going to give me a squirrel type idea
Right.
and I'm off going off in a thousand different directions. Well, that's what this whole quarterly planning is all about, is if you keep coming back to your plan, it's always relevant. Sometimes I always say to people, your plan is integrated into your business and your business is integrated into your plan. And what I mean by that is that sometimes the plan leads you and sometimes you lead the plan. It is a synergy. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is that if you have no new ideas through the course of a quarter, do what the action plans say to do. If, however, you come up with a new idea and you've got a solid, your work is well underway on your project work, but a new idea pops up, you can take the time to, if you will, exit off the highway to your vision and have a look at it and evaluate what you're seeing against the direction you were previously headed in. It may define a completely new journey. You may be on your way to Niagara Falls and suddenly this new highway pops up and now you're on your way to Syracuse instead. That's okay, as long as you're comparing the idea against a core reasoning of where you were going to get, how you were going to get to Niagara Falls, and now you're making a change. Or you set it aside and say, no, that doesn't fit. You get back onto your entrance ramp onto the highway and you continue on to Niagara Falls. For those of you outside of North America, check your map, you'll get the idea what I'm getting at. Okay. So it's very, very powerful when you take this approach of having a quarterly rolling plan and always allow yourself to be in synergy with the plan. Lead it when there's no new ideas and generate some new ones and get them in and get working on them, or where no new ideas are present, then let the plan lead you and do what you said you were going to do based on the prior quarter when you last looked at your business plan. Okay? And all you then have to do, literally, is take a Word document and across the top put Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, and put three blocks under each of it. That'll stop you from putting more than three in per quarter. And just write your action plans in the form of a verb, a project name, and a date into each box, based into each quarter, based on what the what your year's quarters are. If you are a company whose business year end is December 31st, then just use the calendar quarters. If you have a fiscal year end like September 30th, then use your fiscal quarters and drop your action plans in based on priority and according to the date. You can see, oh, good. I have no more than nine. I'm abiding by James's rule. Two, I don't have more than three because I only put three boxes here. I can't have more than three. I'm abiding by James's rules. And then you get to work on them. Simple as that. Okay. So that's, as I said, if you did that, and you can see that if you're constantly doing work on your business and not always in it, which is what action plans are all about, your business is going to move forward. And that's why I say if you're going to do only one element of this business plan, for heaven's sakes, create that 4x3 chart of action plans and get going on them.
And follow it and stick to it and revisit
Exactly.
it and do. I love what you said. Do what you said you wanted to do.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And
Sounds simple, but.
it is. But and that's why, with the action plans, you really do need the vision statement, because that's where the heart and the blood pressure, the blood gets circulating, is the excitement of creating the outcome that the vision statement defines. I read my vision statement every single week to make sure that every week I'm aligned with my heart and soul and all of my energy towards doing everything in the next 7 days that will get me to my 3-year vision. And that usually involves doing work on my action plans to some extent, to get there. Plus sell, my good friend Jerry Robert always says, sell, 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 and all will be well, well, well. And he's right. You can't sit in front of your computer waiting for an email to say, I have a $10,000 contract for you, right? That just doesn't happen. You've got to go out and create those opportunities for yourself. You want to grow a business based on new patients, you've got to get out and be seen in the marketplace, so that others are seeing you and bring value to their experience with you, so that they want to do business with you. It's just a simple recipe for success. Sell, 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 and all will be well, well, well. So that's so we've covered the vision statement, the mission statement, objectives, and I touched on strategies in the last call. And there's the fifth actual one. So what I want to do now is give you all a bonus because you spent some time with me. And the bonus is how to keep your business plan in front of you so that an annual plan need never take more than 90 minutes. And doing it by being engaged in your business plan every single week by spending just 10 minutes on your plan. Does that sound kind of cool? Like, if you could move from $150,000 a year in revenue to $1.5 million in revenue, would you and you knew it was going to happen, but you had to spend 10 minutes a week on your business plan, would you do it?
I don't think that I would. I don't think I need $1.5 million, nor do I need to waste 10 minutes of my day. I don't think anyone is saying that. And even if you're going from zero to achieving six figures in your first year, and if you could guarantee it just takes 10 minutes a week, I think we'd all be doing it. I think
Well,
everyone, if they could, would be saying like, hell yeah, sounds pretty awesome.
and frankly, I think you'd be ludicrous not to do it. And yet, it's incredible how still, I'll share with your audience. People are paying me $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a year, and one of the most critical elements is taking that 10 minutes and reporting into me what their top priorities are for the week, and they still don't do it. And I have to remind and remind and remind, and to the point where, I'm the coach behind the bench that has to turn to the player, and periodically I have to actually walk them out to the hallway and leave the game and slap them silly.
Yeah, we almost need those like electrical chairs to be like, zap, do it,
There you go.
zap, do it.
Because it's not habit, right? There's a saying that says if you do something 21 times, it becomes habit. That's nonsense. Certainly for business owners, the reality is that life goes on, and we've got to make the system work within life. And so the power of my program is that when you get off track, there is somebody there, not a boss, but if you will, a virtual CEO that is holding you accountable for doing what you need to do. And when you get off track, pull you back on.
Yep.
So what I wanted to share with everybody here is a bonus, and it's the 8 secrets to sustaining your business plan indefinitely. And the step number one, or secret number one, I should say, is, of course, in order to sustain the business plan, you have to have one. And so secret number one is create the business plan by getting it down, then getting it right. I meet too many business owners who spin their wheels, spending months and months and months creating 25 and 30 and 40 page documents that never get completed because, well, the business started going. And it started going in a completely different direction, and they never went back to the plan. But they're still not really sure about who they are. They're just going where the business takes them. There's no synergy. It's just the clients, the opportunities are controlling everything, and typically that doesn't go well. So you have to get it down on the basis of get the business plan down on the basis of get down what you know now and get it right over the course of time. None of us came out of the womb knowing how to add 2 + 2. I know I didn't cry 4 when I came out. Pretty darn sure about that. In fact, when you think about it, it takes almost 4 to 5 years of informal and formal education before we understand that 2 + 2 = 4. Our parents teach us how to count 4 apples, but the concept of having 2 over here and 2 over here and saying that if I take 2 and I add 2, I've got 4 is not until about grade 1, maybe kindergarten, if I'm not mistaken, right? So we as business owners have to stop thinking that we need to, that we will know everything from the get-go. This is a learning journey. It's a learning experience. You know what you know. And as Michael Gerber said in the entrepreneurial myth, typically nobody plans to become an entrepreneur. We fall into it. We fall into it because we get it from our parents. We fall into it because we have a hobby that we think that suddenly people show an interest in and starts to become a business, or we get downsized out of the corporate environment and we take on a business. And as a result, we only really have about 3 or 4 core capabilities at best. I mean, think of a plumber, right? A plumber's got the ability to put pipes in and make sure what's in that pipe gets in and gets out without leaking all over the place. But does he know anything about the financial elements of running the business? Does he know how to negotiate loans with his bank? Does he know anything about marketing? Does he even have time to market the business when he's got his, he's down on his knees in front of a toilet trying to get it to work properly? We are all in that same position. We know what we know, and what we know is never enough. We know what we know, but what we know is never enough for us to individually achieve the greatness that we so often want to achieve and presently only dream about. And that's absolutely critical. So allow yourself to relax and understand you don't have all the answers yet. As my good friend Jerry Roberts says in his book publishing seminars, the journey to your success is like crossing the desert. And when you cross the desert, you move from one oil drum to another oil drum until you've reached the other end. But sometimes you can't see the next oil drum, but you can't stay where you are, because if you stay where you are, you'll perish. And so you have to keep moving. And when you move, you're moving in some direction. Invariably in that direction, you will see the next oil drum and you may need to make a course direction. And so the same applies with us as business owners. We may not know what we need to learn now. So take your next first best step forward with what you do know and allow the universe to catch up or show you the way, because it will when you show it that you're interested in growing and becoming stronger, better, faster. And it's a very cool mindset approach. So secret number one, get it down, then get it right. Secret number two is, as I said, to spend 15, well, I on my slide here that I'm working from, I say 15, it's probably 30 minutes for the first couple of weeks, and you'll get it down to 10 to 15 minutes very, very quickly. But what do you do with that 15 minutes is what's absolutely critical, and when you do it. And so do not do this on, a lot of my clients want to do it on a Friday. And I'm going, no, because by the time you come around to Monday, you've forgotten completely about Friday. At the very earliest, you should be doing this would be kind of Sunday evening after the kids have gone to bed, and if that's a time when you start to think about the coming week. Wherever you think about the coming week, get a piece of paper down And if you want a copy of what I use, I'm happy to send it to anyone who writes and says, James, please send me your weekly commitment. I'm happy to do that for everybody. Just put it in the subject line. I'll do that. But create a weekly commitment. The weekly commitment has three elements to it. And you should be doing this by 9 o'clock every Monday morning at the latest to lay out the plan for the week. At the bottom of the form, celebrate your successes from the prior week. 3, 4, 5 things that went well. We tend to easily as business owners to forget the things that worked and only dwell on the things that didn't go exactly the way we wanted or what caused us pain. And if we do that, we never will experience successes or never feel like we're experiencing successes. And so it's very, very important. And I insist with my clients that if they do not fill out their successes, I blast that email right back at them and saying, unacceptable. What went well?
Yeah, something we need to document the wins. You have to document the wins.
Absolutely. And it doesn't even have to be business wins. Sometimes, you know, daughter had an incredible dance competition in Vaughan this weekend, and I was so proud to be her dance mom.
Yeah.
You know, great, go for it. Whatever makes you feel good and gets your energy up is what's important to be going in there. Obviously, you have to have some business wins because this is a business report. So that goes at the bottom of the report, or put it at the top. You know, its positioning isn't what's important. It's that you do that first. Celebrate the prior wins, because some of them should be identifying that you got action plan work done from the prior week. You know, I got my videos on my website towards launching the website in the next 2 months. Good. Way to go. Pound yourself on the back. Pat yourself on the back and celebrate that and truly celebrate it, because it means you did all the right things that week. In the top section, or the next section of the weekly commitment, what I have them do, and this goes to the point that you made earlier, how do I take a plan and get down to the little stuff that has to get done? Well, this is where you do it. So at the top, in this next section of the weekly commitment, I have my clients identify no more than 4 action plans that they're going to do some work on. So if I'm going to relaunch my website by May 31st, the action plan on my weekly commitment says launch website, and the due date May 31st, 2016. And then I write, what am I going to do this week to advance that project? I'm going to record a selfie video on vision statement, okay, this week. But that's not even good enough. There's the little to do I'm going to do, because it's going to, the selfie is going to go on the website. I'm moving in the right direction. But if I just leave it at that, there's a good risk that it's not going to happen this week, right? So what I also insist that my clients do is say, on Tuesday between 7 and 9 p.m., they have to book it into their calendar to create an appointment with themselves, to create the commitment to make it happen. Because that way, if somebody is pressing for their time, they have the opportunity to say, I'm sorry, I can't see you. I have an appointment.
Yes.
And you'll say to yourself, but that's an appointment with myself. It's not important. I'm going to say, stop. Appointments with yourself are oftentimes far more powerful for the business than an appointment even with your very best client. That's short term. Appointments with yourself are about the long-term growth of your business. So be careful. If you have an appointment with yourself, tell the client you have an appointment. They don't know it's with you, and book it some other time. Now, if they say it's urgent, then respond accordingly. But then pick up the appointment that's in your calendar, replace the new one, but move your appointment with yourself to another day and time so that you never lose sight of it. Okay? And so I get them to, you know, to do that with their priority action plans. Break it down into one step to this week you want to do, and when are you going to do it, and put it into your calendar, and then go and live that experience of getting it done. Now, the thing is, of course, typically they all put it on Thursday or Friday. They do the work on their business late in the week. The challenge is that, you know, I think we'll all agree that stuff goes wrong every single week.
Yeah.
Now, if Monday goes by and nothing went wrong, there's now there's now one day gone, and so the probability that something's going to go wrong is now heightened because I've only got 4 days left in the week. If Tuesday and Wednesday go by and I have no problems or issues that got in my way, now I'm 100% certain that there's a 50% probability on Thursday I'm going to have a problem, or on Friday I'm going to have a problem. And if those are the 2 days that I put all of my time to go work on my action plans, I'm potentially screwed because I didn't plan earlier in the week to do the work I could do on my business, and allow if fires did occur earlier in the week, then to simply move that appointment with myself. So it's a time management, it's a balance of time management, focus, and commitment to doing what you got to get done. But at the end of the day, having a document in front of you where you write it down. The last section on that same commitment is then to identify what marketing activities you're going to do and what you expect those marketing activities to accomplish for you. And I'll just use one quick example because it's typically I'm going to go on too long on whenever I talk. But one example I see all the time is marketing activity: attend chamber breakfast. Okay, now on my report, you have to identify what it's going to do for you, delivering what, and it should be measurable. And what clients typically say is profile for the business. Shut up.
Haha.
Shut up. That's not measurable. How do you know if you've generated profile for the business? You see, again, because we are entrepreneurs, we forget that we wear two hats. Sometimes we're the salesperson, sometimes we're the sales manager. And in our businesses, typically the salesperson is walking all over the sales manager. Sure, Jack, I'm going to take $45 and I'm going to go spend 2 hours of business time at this chamber breakfast and I'm going to build the company profile.
Right.
The sales manager says, go have a nice meeting. Right? What the sales manager should say is, shut up. What are you coming back with? How many warm leads are you coming home with, buddy? Okay, and so you position it as attend chamber breakfast, delivering 3 warm leads for
Right.
follow-up conversation. That's measurable.
Yep.
I'll know whether I achieved it, and I leave for the meeting with a much higher sense of responsibility to my business to actually do something than just flitter and float about, or be a
Very important.
or worse yet, be a wallflower for heaven's sakes. Get in, talk to people, introduce, make it about them, get them to say, and what do you do? And surprise, and I got a whole sales conversation I can teach people too. Not enough time to go into that, but don't answer. Here's my trick for you. When they say, what do? Don't answer them. And I'm just going to leave it at that to tease you. Obviously, you have to answer them, but don't answer them the way you're answering them right now. And we can do a whole series on that too,
Sure.
Andrea. Okay. So secret number one, get it down, get it right later. Do the weekly commitment for 10 to 15 minutes a week. Because if you do your weekly commitments and you deliver against them, then that's only 156 weeks is all you have to do in order to achieve your 3-year vision.
Yeah.
Do what you say you're going to do, 156 little pieces of work. Little pieces of work that deliver big projects 156 weeks in a row, and you will be so much closer to achieving your 3-year vision. Will you be there? Yeah, maybe not, but I know for certain you're going to be far further along than if you never spend any time every week thinking about what has to be accomplished.
Totally.
So secret number three is just building on this weekly. Spend 30 minutes every month looking back at your business plan, looking at the action plans. Are you getting to them? Have you progressed as well as you should? Making adjustments. Look at the targets, the objectives that you set. Break it down into the month. And are you on track? Are you behind? Are you ahead? Lots of business owners will say, well, that's why I don't measure myself. I don't want to know I'm behind. Well, how's that working for you? Not knowing isn't changing the outcome. You're either behind, right on, or ahead. And people that don't, business owners that don't engage in business planning are invariably behind because they don't know they're behind. They feel it
Totally.
and they don't want to see the reality. Well, would you go to watch, would you pay $400 for tickets to watch the Maple Leafs, buy dinner, pay for parking, pay for a babysitter, and have no scoreboard at the rink? I just thinking you wouldn't do it. And that's what you're doing with your business. You're operating in the blind, and that's why you're not going anywhere. So just accept the news. See that you're if I told you you could have a consultant that was absolutely free, would never lie to you, and would give you good, give you good answers every time you asked a question, would you want that free consultant? And
Totally.
it's not
I
me.
would.
I'm not. Yeah, sure you would. Well, the consultant is your business. Your business is screaming to give you everything you need to know. If you measure everything, then you'll know what it has to tell you. If you're not measuring, you're missing all the key cues and you're not responding and reacting to improve the business
For
to
sure.
stop the same things from happening over and over again. So every month, go back, spend 30 minutes, just 30 minutes, look at your progress to your objectives, make some decisions because you may come up with some new action plans that are more powerful than your current ones that are going to close the gap on your revenues or better yet, leverage the incredible success that you did create in that month. Okay, so 30 minutes every month. And then naturally after that, you're going to spend some time every quarter because we're creating rolling quarterly plans in any case. So wouldn't we want to go back and review the plan against those quarterly on that quarterly basis? And so spend about 45 minutes every quarter and just do a slightly more detailed monthly review because your action plans should have expired. Some should have been gotten, should have been completed, and may need a next step. So review your action plans especially. But the other thing is, against your objectives, 3 months has gone by. That's a quarter. You're 3 months, you have 3 months fewer months to achieve your annual results. And so you better be tough on yourself in terms of where you're at. And if you're not there, really get focused on finding information from resources around you that have ideas about how you can close those gaps and create action plans to make it happen. Right?
Absolutely.
Cool. And if you do just those few steps, then as I said earlier, once a year, redo the plan, and it won't take you more than 90 minutes. 10 minutes a week, 30 a month, 45 minutes a quarter means you'll never spend more than 90. I did the 2016 plan for Focus 31 in 28.4 minutes.
Awesome.
And if that's not worth setting the journey, you spend 6 hours to 4 days for your next trip to Cuba planning it out. Will you not spend 28.4 minutes creating the plan that's going to allow you not just to go to Cuba, but to go in the next 6 months to Turks and Caicos and on down to anywhere else you want to go next year? The cash to do all the things you want to do personally comes out of the business, and yet you plan your retirement, you plan your children's education, you plan your vacations. You're not planning the cash flow, the cash flow success. You're just approaching it willy-nilly, and you wonder
Yeah.
why your visa's always getting
Right.
maxed out. All right?
Right.
Invest more time in the where the money's coming from, and you'll enjoy the experiences that life allows you to do far more. So 90 minutes a month, sorry, 90 minutes a year. Secret number six, if you haven't figured it out, because I talked about it today and on the previous call, you have to measure against your objectives. You've got to know what's going on from the big, the top end revenue right down to how many leads you're getting from your going to the Chamber of Commerce. If you're spending $250 a year on the Chamber of Commerce, you better make sure you know whether or not you're getting anything for it. Now, it's a relatively inexpensive one anyway, but the time is what's
Well, that's
expensive,
it. Yeah,
right?
is it even worth your time? Is it worth your
Exactly.
investment?
Absolutely. And so you've got, the only way to know is to measure what you're getting from it.
Yep.
And you'll never know company promotion. You'll never know when that's happening. There's just no way to measure it. Okay? So measure hardcore leads. That's all. At the end of the day, the only thing that matters from all of your networking and all of your marketing is how many leads are you getting and how well are you closing them? And if there's a breakdown in the number of leads, then find ways to increase the leads. And if you're not closing the leads that you're getting, then take a look at your sales conversation and make some improvements in that. And that can become an action plan in and of itself.
Yep.
Secret number seven, celebrate the successes. I'll share a quick story. I had a client many, many years ago. He's a young kid. I was working with him through the York Region Small Business Enterprise Center. I was a mentor to him, and he later graduated from college and started his own business and got some grant money and retained me to help him with his business plan. And at the very early stage, we got into a bit of a disagreement, a friendly disagreement, but a disagreement nonetheless, because we got through the vision statement brilliantly, mission statement brilliantly, and then we got to revenue for the current year. And I said, "So, Peter, what do you want to earn in your first year? And he said $60,000. Now, Peter was between the ages of 22 and 24. And I was an old guy and experienced and had seen so many failures from startups that I said that's too much, Peter.
Right.
I think it should be more like 30,000. He said, no, it's going to be 60,000. And I said, Peter, come on. And we went back. It was like a tennis match, ping pong, probably ping pong because the ball goes across a little faster. And I was getting frustrated with him because he was just being so hard ass about it. And I finally got to, I stopped and said, okay, I'm not getting where I want to get to. So I turned the question around. I said, Peter, why do you think it has to be 60,000? He said, James, if I can't earn $60,000 with my business, then I might as well go and get a job.
Pretty much.
Couldn't argue with them. That quote is in my book, Chaos: How Business Leaders Can Master the Power of Focus. And I will share with you that I met with we carried on for the year. I didn't want to talk about the revenue. I was afraid to hear. So we focused all on action plans. But we met up, and we had a coffee together. And I finally said to him, "So okay,
Tell me.
I know it didn't go well. So what was the rest? $75,000 he earned in his first year,
No
and I."
doubt.
I got up in this coffee shop and gave him a standing ovation. There was nobody else in the coffee shop, so it was less embarrassing. But so I immediately sat down. I said, Peter, what are you going to do to celebrate that success? He said, well, I'm going out for beers with the boys tonight. I said, Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, but knowing you as I do, I suspect that most Friday nights you go out with the boys for beers, correct? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, then that's not celebrating this unique win. He called me 2 weeks later. He booked a trip to Cuba.
Nice.
With a friend. And I said, brilliant. Now here's what you have to do to just solidify it. I said, make sure that when you're there, that you take one meal and you put it on the company and you talk with whoever you're with about the successes you achieved this past week to make it solidified in your unconscious mind the power of what you just done, because you'll never now be a $75,000 business ever again.
That's
And he
right.
has it. It's now up to $250,000 in revenue and starting a second business. So whatever you do, take time to celebrate your wins.
And I think the most important part of that story was not once did you ask about the revenue, but you kept him on track. You kept his goals actionable. You kept him going the entire year, and he made 15,000 more than he anticipated. So it's just again showing the power of writing things down, following what you wanted to accomplish, and keeping on top of how you're doing with regards to moving your business forward.
Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, he was measuring. I wasn't asking about it. I didn't want to know it. So that doesn't mean that because we didn't talk about it, it wasn't still happening, because he's very measurement oriented, and that was critical. Secret number eight, and this will sound self-serving, but it's not. It's in all of your listeners' best interest. And the reality is, secret number eight is to retain a business plan advisor for a minimum of 24 months. The reason I say this is because habits aren't formed by doing weekly accountability 21 times. You will fall off the rails. Stuff will pile up. I had a call this week from a client who had to defer their business plan because they were in overwhelm, because business was just going so well, and they're about to fly out to Sudbury to do some work for a client. And I said, that's fine, but we're not leaving this until you're not overwhelmed. We're leaving this until you're not flying to go see a client. And I'll be in my EA will be contacting you first week of May to get you committed back to this, because in her own words, the refocus she gets is so empowering
Yes.
that builds up her energy and makes her feel good about what she has accomplished, even if the growth is presently chaotic growth. Wonderful place to be. Now we've got to create the infrastructure so that chaos can be controlled and continue to grow.
Yes.
And you won't do that naturally of your own accord. In fact, I will share with you that in all the times I've given this talk, and I will share with you that is hundreds of times in front of thousands of business owners, only less than 0.5% of participants, I even one excluding my clients, only 0.5% of participants do I have evidence that they actually got a plan done and have been living to it for more than a 3 year period. Everybody says, I can do this, I can do this, I'll do
Sure.
this, I'll do it. And nobody does it. And I've had clients work with me for a year and say, oh, you know what, my contract's up with you. I'm really confident I can carry on doing this. And I check in with them 6 months later and we go have a coffee and it's all come off the rails. I saying, I take it your business plan isn't current. No. And I start, not only is it current, but I can also identify six opportunities that they completely missed because they weren't planning their business. And their jaws just dropped to the table. And then they sign for another year.
Right.
So, I encourage, you can do this of your own accord. I want you to do it of your own accord. It's all here. You can go to my, again, send me an email. I'll send you the workbook that I have that is just a great workbook, and it does, or just get my book off my website, focus31.com. Download my book, read chapter 8. Just read the 25 pages in chapter 8 and go do it, because that's exactly what I've taught. This is just a reiteration of everything in chapter 8, plus a bit more. So go and do it. It's all there. And it's easy, it's fast, sustainable, and so practical and so incredibly important that you get it done.
I love that. I love it.
And there you go. That's what I wanted to cover in today's call. And hey, there you go. We're 55 minutes. No, about
And
45 minutes, I guess.
I just wanted to reiterate, if people wanted to get the worksheet from you again, they said just email you at james@focus31.com, and in the subject line put, James, please send me your weekly commitment, and then
Right?
they can start getting that template. And I
Exactly.
know that everyone listening wants to do this. I know that we are all human and no different than the patients that we're treating. We know how accountability makes such an impact on their lives that you can't forget that you also need the accountability to keep up with your business, whether it's with James, whether it's myself, whether you create sort of like a team amongst your colleagues. You have to have somebody hold you accountable. And I think the other most important thing that came out of the talk today was you have to also put it in the schedule, put it in your calendar, and don't make it negotiable. So it doesn't mean you can't move it, but it means it has to stay in your calendar somewhere. And I can say, even from my own experience with exercising and things like that, if I don't have when I'm going to be exercising, I just wouldn't go. I just wouldn't make it a priority. So all the strategies that you've given are just amazing. And again, verb, project name, due date, that's where you start. Three per quarter, no more than nine per year. Sounds easy, and I don't know why anybody who's listening won't want to do it and shouldn't do it, because as we said, it could make a difference from zero to a six-figure year. You just never
It's
know.
not that it could. I know it will.
Right.
Planning doesn't guarantee you'll get absolutely to exactly where you want to be 3 years from now, but I know it will get you further than it otherwise will. And you'll just be so, when you look back after each single year and look at yourself and your performance as a business owner, you're just going to be wowed, going, really? That's what I was thinking a year ago? Your growth will be absolutely phenomenal if you engage in this kind of a process.
And we are going to have you back on, James, in about another 4 weeks or so. So that gives everyone who's listening another month to get all of this stuff down, to go back and listen to the other interview that we had, to get all caught up. And I hope on that call, you're going to give us again that hint of how we should be selling ourselves. But what else are you going to tell us about next time?
Well, I thought what I would do, let's just recap the free offers that go to my website, focus31.com, click on the Chaos Book link, and download my free book, PDF form. Send me an email and ask for the Social Media 100 plan. That is a plan that will show you exactly what to do in any given day in order to maximize on your social media. And thirdly, the workbook that I just promised now. And fourthly, the weekly commitment form. So four free things already. What I thought I'd do on the next call is circle back. Since I'm giving away the Social Media 100 plan, I'd like to talk. Everybody's talking social media, and people are doing social media. They're doing it badly. They don't understand what is the true starting point and what is the intent. And so what I really want to do is link it all together for everybody so that you know exactly what to begin with and the steps to take to get to what your primary objective should be. And I know for the majority of people, because I see people's blogs, they think just dumping information out into the marketplace is the right thing to do. No, it's an element of the right thing to do, but in and of itself, it's like going to the Chamber of Commerce and just promoting yourself and not getting any agreement to any kind of action. I'm going to show you how to get agreement to action in your social media, which is where it counts, lead generation.
Perfect. I can't wait. Again, what is the website one more time if people want to get in touch with you?
Focus 31, not 31 the words, focus 31 as in 31 days of the month, .com.
Perfect. And we will have all of those links as well on the website in the podcast show notes. And that's maximizebusiness.ca. And you'll see the tabs for the podcast right there. Thank you again so much, James. This was awesome. I think this is one of those shows that you have to listen to a couple of times. Jot everything down, really start establishing those steps. And you know what, guys? If you just spent an hour during this call, after this call, and just got everything taken care of, you'd be good to go. And then just keep following up once a week, 10 minutes a week, once a month, 30 minutes a month, and just keep rolling it out. And I can't wait to hear the successes. And I'm sure James would love you to not be a statistic. And we'd like to bump up that percentage of the people that do it on their own and have tremendous success, not in the first year, but over the next 3 years. And of course, that's where the vision statement comes in. So thank you again, James, so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Wonderful to be with you again, Andrea. Look forward to
Cool.
the next one.
Yeah, now I have nothing else to say, guys. I think that was a jam-packed show, and I just can't wait to hear again your comments. I always love to see the reviews, and putting it directly on iTunes not only helps me understand how much you're liking the podcast, what you like about it, what you don't like about it, but it also helps us rank on iTunes so that we can spread this podcast with so many more people. Hit me up with questions, concerns, topics, people you'd like me to interview. If you want me to interview you, again, maximizedbusiness.ca and just contact me that way. But other than that, peeps, I'm out. You guys are killer. Thank you as always for listening to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Leave me a comment, and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.